Thanks, Heidi. Good morning, everyone. We just heard our previous speaker talk about methane emissions, and we're going to kind of keep on that same path, only in this case we'll be discussing a little bit about nitrous oxide emissions. Nitrous oxide is, just like methane, is a greenhouse gas. It has been implicated in global warming and climate change. One thing unique about nitrous oxide, it has a 100-year global warming potential that's about 300 times higher than CO2. So it doesn't take very much nitrous oxide for us to get concerned about it. So in the past, I know some of you guys have conducted greenhouse gas research and attempted to quantify greenhouse gas emissions from there's been a lot of research primarily in soils, but the way that we do that is we take a chamber out in the field and just picture a bowl, if you would, turn it upside down on the soil and monitor the increase in concentration of the greenhouse gases, whether that be methane or nitrous oxide, over time. And so in the past, we have done that with a method that usually takes from 30 to 60 minutes. And we collect 3 or 4 samples in syringes over that 30 to 60 minute time, take it back to the laboratory, and quantify those concentrations with a gas chromatograph. As you can imagine, 30 to 60 minutes, you've got a bunch of people out there taking a whole bunch of samples, coming back to the lab, so very labor and time intensive. And so when I've only been doing greenhouse gas research for really less than a year. It started back in February. And so as an engineer, I like to look at maybe from a different perspective and say, because I'm lazy, how can we do this faster? You know, I don't want to be out there for hours and hours and hours. How can we do this faster and collect more data? And so today, just want to discuss with you a little bit about some greenhouse gas measurement systems. The first one is RFT-NSS. That's recirculating flow-through, a non-steady state system. I'm going to show you how we've reduced those sampling times from 30 to 60 minutes down to 30 to 60 seconds. Talk a little bit about some of the things that we had to do in order to get these methods to work, using an internal fan, and then we've got a really unique sealing mechanism that we use between the lid and the pan. Talk a little bit about the limits of detection and the precision of the system, and then show you some experimental results from where we had simulated rainfall on dry manure, and then finally a little bit about diurnal variation. Well, the heart of our system is a real-time continuous nitrous oxide analyzer. This particular analyzer we bought from Los Gatos Research in San Jose, California. It's just to put it real simple, it's got an internal laser, and it measures nitrous oxide every second at 0.05 part per billion volume resolution. And actually, that's what they say. It actually measures even smaller than that. And so the only downside is the cost is about $120,000. And so if you want to buy one, you're probably going to have to sell your house or get in good with your boss. So we've developed two different chamber systems. The first is a pilot scale system, a laboratory system where we can conduct highly controlled emissions research. And then the second is a field scale system where we can go out in the field either our feedlots or just natural soils. So the laboratory system consists of 6 square chamber pans. Each pan has about a 1 square meter surface area, 200 millimeter depth. The pans were mounted on a trolley system, so we have a rail system so we can roll those pans outside if we want to get out in the elements, or inside if we want to really control everything. We have a single lid that's moved manually from pan to pan. I'll show you photos of that in just a minute. And then we recirculated the sample air in the headspace of the chamber. So recirculated from the chamber to the analyzer and back to the chamber. Our field scale system was just a one-piece chamber, solid steel. It weighs about 50 or 60 pounds. Pretty hefty, a half meter diameter and 160 millimeter height, and it's operated the same way in a recirculator recirculating fashion. This is a schematic of the system. So the pans here, which are represented basically recirculating through the analyzer, we use both the internal and an optional external pump, mainly to get that air moving faster so we get a faster response time once we put the lid on. So once we put the lid on, it takes about 7 seconds before we're actually seeing that concentration increase. Out in the field, a little bit longer sample tubing, you know, up to 140 meters. We could probably go further, but that takes about a minute. So you put the chamber down on your source. Even though the analyzer is 140 meters away, we're confident that about a minute later it's going to start going up. So this is just some photographs of the system. So you see the six chamber pans down here, and then the one in the bottom right with the lid on top. So we got pans, see the rails, so the rolls, just like I said earlier, one lid that's moved from pan to pan. And then we also have an A-frame gantry and scale so that we can precisely monitor not only how much manure we put into each pan, but also over time we can monitor how much moisture we are losing from the pans. That's another close-up photograph. Now these lids, those of you that have done chamber work in the past, a vent is recommended so that when you put the lid down, you don't have this positive pressure. And so we tried a whole bunch of, that's another research project, a whole bunch of different vents, and we settled on a vent it's actually a commercial vent that's made by Licor out of Lincoln, Nebraska. So you got the sample tubing here, in and out, the handles, we got a power cord going to the internal fan, sensors measuring the temperature at the midpoint in the manure. And then the other thing that we had here, we designed this originally as a C-channel with the thought that we would put water in this. So that we had water in there, we put the lid down, we'd have an airtight seal. What we didn't realize is that every time we pick this thing up, water drips, and it drips on the manure, and what are we trying to study? How water affects manure, and so the water just didn't work very well. We tried several different things. One was a cornstarch water mixture, which was a little bit better, but we settled on a number 4 ballistic gel. And this is the gel you've probably seen on TV where they shoot bullets into this gel and it mimics a human body. That stuff works really well as a sealant. So it's tough enough that when the lid fits down on, it's airtight. And then if it ever does get damaged, we just take a heat gun and melt it back up. And so works really well. Just a quick photo of this is our technician Will, who just demonstrating how easy it was to move this lid from pan to pan. And so what we would do is we'd put the lid on for 60 seconds, watch the concentration increase, take it off for 60 seconds, and move to the next pan. This is the actual the field chamber. Again, it was a one-piece steel chamber operating same way, recirculating. So we've got the tubing coming in, tubing going out, internal fan inside, also a thermistor to measure air temperature. And so we've used this on playa soils, which are just natural soils around our research center, and then on the feedlot surface as well. So one of the things that we learned real quickly when we started was that the internal fan was critical. And so what I'm showing here, let's start over here on the right side first. So on the right side, we put the lid on, and the concentration starts increasing. So you've got the nitrous oxide concentration on the y-axis, and then time on the x-axis. So if when we have the internal fan going and mixing that air within the chamber head space, we get this really nice linear concentration versus time. And that's what we use, is that slope to calculate the flux. Now, when we don't have the fan, not quite so pretty, is it? And so without the fan, there's no way that we could ever quantify an emission in 60 seconds. We would have to take that out to 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and if we're going to do that, we're back at our old method. But with the fan, with the internal fan, and it's just a little 12-volt computer fan. So it's not moving a lot of air, but just enough to have mixing in that headspace. I want to draw your attention to the change in concentration over time. In this case, about 15 parts per billion. So this particular manure sample, over 60 seconds, we saw a 15 parts per billion increase in concentration. Here's another example. This is manure that more moist manure, a lot higher emission rate. So this previous one, emission rate about 0.24 milligrams per square meter per hour. This one, 43 milligrams per square meter per hour. And the concentration, whereas last time was, 15 parts per billion? This time is 3 parts per million, so 3,000 parts per billion. Very repeatable. And this, put the lid on. We did this 10 times. Put it on, take it off. Put it on, take it off. Very repeatable with a CV of about 2.1%. Let me show you another one. This is from dry manure. Now you notice the background changes a little bit, but each one of these points, there are 60 seconds, 60 points. We select the middle 30 and calculate the slope from that. This one, the CV wasn't quite as good, but 6% is still, in terms of greenhouse gas emission research is still very, very low CV. Look at the mean flux, 0.025, so order of magnitude less. And we are measuring this in a minute with only a delta C, a change in concentration of 2 parts per billion. No way could you ever see this with the gas chromatograph. Okay, the last one. We were curious in just how low can we go with this method. So starting with air dry manure, it is set in the chamber pans for about 30 days, and we were able to quantify within 60 seconds down to 0.007 milligrams. So 7 micrograms per square meter per hour in a 60-second time frame with only a half part per billion change in concentration. To me, that is just, that's the cool part. We're able to measure down this low in 60 seconds and collect hundreds more samples than we would be with the old method. Okay, I know I don't have very much time left, but just want to show you a quick few slides of our first experiment. We looked at a simulated rainfall study. So we've got rainfall falling on dry manure, 5 treatments ranging from 0 to 50 millimeters, so about 2 inches of rain, from 0 to 2 inches of rain. Dry manure, moisture content at 13%, so it's pretty dry. We measured the flux every 10 minutes initially, and then over time down to about 3 times per day over a 45-day period. So over counting our QAQC measurements, over 1,000 flux measurements in 45 days. So a lot of flux measurements. This is an example of the concentration versus time moving from pan to pan. So treatment one down here was the dry manure, and then this biggest peak here would be the 2 inches of rainfall. And then this little inset here, it doesn't look like much right here, but when you blow it up, a very linear response. So we can accurately calculate a flux even in the dry manure. Okay, we saw 2 distinct peaks after adding rainfall. A first peak, and so this peak right here is actually blown up right here. So the first peak, that the maxima was at about 2 hours after adding rainfall, and then decreased. And so after about 10 hours, it was back down to close to background. And if you look up here, you see how it stays down for about 5 to 7 days. So what's interesting is a lot of the research that's been done in the past, you get this big peak, it comes down, and you go, well, I guess we're done. And so from earlier research, we found out that there was another peak that comes along, and it starts about 7 days. That's what this one down here starts about 7 days. And even though it doesn't go as high, it has a lot larger area under the curve. So the magnitude of emissions from that second peak is actually greater than it was from the first peak. And when we plotted the actual magnitude of emissions, so this is nitrous oxide emitted milligrams per square meter over the 45-day period, as a function of the amount of rainfall, I love seeing this kind of stuff because people look at it and go, you must have doctored the data. R squared of 0.997 is almost unheard of for field-type research. But what it tells us is very predictable amount of nitrous oxide that's going to come off of manure once we get a rainfall. And then these other two curves, this was the second peak, which accounted for 70 to 80% of the total nitrous oxide emitted, and then this is the first peak. One more slide. I told you there was diurnal fluctuation. So with this method, we're able to actually quantify that diurnal fluctuation. And the thing I'd like to point out is just if you look at the max over the min, anywhere from 1.4 to 3.2 times difference, depending on what time of day you're sampling. So you picture yourself, you're out doing the old method, and it takes 30 to 60 minutes. And so you're moving, and you start in the morning because you want to get a whole bunch of samples. And so not only do you have spatial variability, but you have huge temporal variability. And then you get back, and you try to make differences in your treatments, and you just go, oh, it's crazy. So much variability. And so hopefully with this type of research, collecting more methods, knowing about diurnal fluctuation, we can actually better understand what's going on with these treatments. So real quick conclusions, 30 to 60 seconds as opposed to 30 to 60 minutes. The internal fan is necessary. Ballistic gel is great. Level detection down to 7 micrograms per square meter per hour in a 60-second period. If you add rainfall, you get two peaks and up to a threefold difference in diurnal variation. And I'm about to get pushed off, so I'm going to stop right there just want to say thanks to you guys. Thanks to all of there's a lot of people that went into this research, all the way from welders to lab chemists to engineers to soil scientists, a lot of discussions, but kind of excited where we've gotten the last 8 months and excited to see where it's going to go. So, all right. That's the question. That's why I can say as an engineer, I don't know. And so I look to, that's why it's kind of nice to present this kind of stuff to, we got biochemists and microbiologists. And I'd like to discuss with some of you why that's going on. It went up so fast, it came down so fast, it's almost like a product. It's like a chemistry product. Something was there and it got used up and it went down. Now the other one was more gradual and slow. I can see that as being a biological, bacteria's growing up and slowly going down. But that's a great question. And so I'm asking you guys to help me with that. So appreciate that. There's another question over here. And so it actually increases the flux by about 10 to 20%, as opposed to, and so it increases the flux, I guess is the answer. Now, whether that is a good thing or a bad thing, I argue that it's a good thing in where we are in the panhandle of Texas, where the wind blows all the time. And so I think we are actually simulating field conditions better with that little bit of air movement than if it were just totally stagnant. But it does. I didn't show that, but it does increase the flux, 10 to 20% compared to what it would be if it were just totally static. Yes, in the back. Are you able to look at NH3 at all? When ammonia? What was that question again? Are you able to look at NH3 ammonia? Okay, that's another ideal question. We were able to just recently to get funds to purchase a new instrument. So the question is, are we looking at ammonia or any other gases? We have a similar instrument that's supposed to be in about mid-December, laser-based instrument, real-time, that will do methane, CO2, and ammonia. And so that's the next plan, because, you know, you're doing all this work, you hate to just focus on one gas. And, yes, that's the plan. So now we're going to have, I mean, it's already data, it's data overload. It's going to be data overload times four now.
I think that's all the time we have for today. But thank you.